Okay, our friends. So today, our good friends, we have got an encouraging story for you. Do you have something wonderful that you can share with others? Because the person in our story today does. And it is a wonderful thing to share. And I can't wait to tell you guys about it. So today's story is called The Honeybee Man. It was read by Leila Nargi, and the pictures are by Kirsten Brooker. And it is read today by Mommy. And...
Before I share my name, don't forget leg day.
Leg day? Oh, you mean work out your legs? Oh, I won't forget leg day. That's a very good reminder. Don't forget leg day, friends.
I'm Amaya. I am Maya, the chief blacksmith in Daventry.
I love that. A good blacksmith probably doesn't forget leg day, but arm day is never a problem. Blacksmiths use their arm a lot, right? Yeah. Are you ready for your story?
I've never heard of your set of arm day.
Oh, well, you learn something new every day. You ready? Here we go. One quiet July dawn, Fred rolls out of his bed and into his slippers. He greets two members of his enormous family. "Good morning, Copper," he calls to his dog, still curled up on the rug. "Good morning, Cat," he calls to his cat named Cat. She stretches in a pool of sunlight. I like the name of his dog. I think the name of his cat is very unique. Fred shuffles downstairs to the kitchen and fixes a cup of tea. He takes his teacup in one hand and creaks back upstairs, then up another flight. Climbing a ladder that climbs the wall, he pushes open a hatch and pulls himself out onto the roof. All around is quiet Brooklyn City. Brownstones and Leiden trees, a tall clock tower, and bridges in the distance. Near the edge of the roof is another tiny city. It has three houses, each with two white stories and one red story. And inside, thousands of tiny rooms made of wax. From the outside, the tiny city also seems quiet, but Fred inhales the smell of a summer city morning, maple leaves and gasoline and river and dust. He turns to the tiny city and inhales its smaller, sweeter smell, a little like caramel and a little like ripe peaches. To the first house, Fred calls, "Good morning, Queen Mab." And to the other two houses, "Good morning, Queen Nefertiti. Good morning, Queen Boadicea." Then Fred greets the rest of his family, which has more members than he can count. "Good morning, Mabbies, my darlings." Now, in the picture, we can see that he's actually talking to beehives that he's kept in containers on top of his apartment building in downtown Brooklyn, which is New York City, right? Inside their houses, the three queen bees and their thousands of worker bee daughters don't answer. But Fred knows that they are busy. The queens are laying eggs, and some workers are building wax rooms, and some are feeding babies, and some are making the hive tidy, and others are getting ready to forage in flowers abloom all across Brooklyn. Fred closes his eyes and lets his mind wander. Will Queen Mab's daughters find mint flowers as they did last year? Will Queen Boadicea's honey be dark like molasses, or light and clear like amber? As he thinks about honey, Fred's mouth begins to water.
I can't wait to find out.
Fred pictures the park at the end of his block. He imagines his bees moving from clover to clover, flying over them low and slow with their see-through wings, which flap and also twist like propellers. Fred wishes he could fly there with them, like the wind, with the wind rushing over his back.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Those bees would love it here at Daventry.
Mm-hmm. Fred opens his eyes and the hives are alive, humming with a low hum as low as a whisper. Fred hums back.
Tell me what it's like to fly through the world.
Zzzz, hum the bees. To Fred, this sounds like an answer. If only he could understand. Young bees on their first flights circle in the air.
There, there, my girls, don't be afraid,
Fred says in a soothing voice. And as he speaks, the young bees seem to pluck up their courage. On the streets below, trucks rumble and babies wail in their strollers. But inch by inch, the young bees shimmy past the edge of their tiny city. It's easy for Fred to recognize the older bees who are used to moving between their small world and the giant world of people. They zip out of the hives and throw themselves at the air, embracing it with their wings, and a few land on Fred's arms.
Hello, Fred,
they seem to say.
Hello, girls, have a nice day, now off you go.
Fred gives them a gentle flick of the finger and away they buzz. Fred watches his bees fly into his back garden and other gardens on the block. He sees the bees dive into the sweet peas and squash flowers. If he were closer, he could see them using their tube-like tongues to drink in flower nectar, which they store in honey sacks inside their bellies. Then it's off to the next pea plant, to the sage flowers in the backyard, and maybe, if Fred is lucky, to blooming blueberry bushes somewhere across town. When the bees return to their hives, Fred notices that they are flying slowly, heavy now, with nectar. Inside, Fred knows that they are performing wiggle dances to tell the others where the best flowers grow. He knows that sister bees are taking the nectar and storing it in the tiny wax rooms. And he knows that the others are fanning their wings to evaporate the water from the nectar so it will turn to honey. Day after day, Fred watches the bees zip out over the blare of the city.
How tireless you are,
he sighs, wishing he could be as strong and as free as the bees. One afternoon at the end of August, Fred climbs to his roof. He is wearing his black rubber rain boots and his white head veil and a scratch on his hand from Cat the Cat, who did not want to be woken this morning. He makes an announcement.
Sweeties, I have come for the honey.
And a plea.
Please do not sting me.
Fred puffs clouds of smoke into the tiny houses, and the bees burrow deep down into the hive. From the very top floor, Fred lifts out the honeycomb and he packs it into the buckets and says,
thank you for this honey, bees.
I think they are okay with him taking it since he was so polite to them. Fred hauls the buckets down the ladder and into his house where he banishes Copper, the honey-loving dog, to the kitchen. Fred sets a frame of honeycomb over a plastic tank and slices off the wax caps, and the honey begins to flow. Friends, you have to get this book because the artwork, you can see what they're doing, and it's just impressive. You can see all the steps to making honey here, and it's very cool. He places the honeycomb in a spinning machine, which squeezes every last drip of honey out of it. And he pours the honey into jars, and then he sticks labels on the jars.
Fred's Brooklyn Honey, made by tireless Brooklyn bees.
In the late afternoon, Fred sits on his stoop, enjoying the cool end of summer breeze. And when his neighbors come out to chat, Fred gives each of them a jar of deep gold honey. One neighbor asks, "Where'd all this honey come from?" And Fred says, in a humming sort of whisper,
"From the sweet peas in your backyard, and from the flowers of the laden trees shading our block, and maybe, if we're lucky, from sour sweet blueberry bushes somewhere across town."
Up on Fred's roof, the bees are huddled back in their own city, waiting for the rays of tomorrow's sun to call them up and away over Brooklyn. Their wings are tattered from flying, and the nip of autumn is in the air, and soon it will be time to rest. But down on the stoop, Fred opens a jar of honey. The honey glistens and shimmers in the last of the sunlight. Fred sticks in a finger. It is sweet, like lichen flowers. It is sharp, like rosemary. It is ever so slightly sour. Says Fred, absorbing these happy flavors.
Blueberries.
Do you know that the flowers that the bees take their nectar from can change the flavor of the honey? It's true, depending on where the bees go to get their nectar, it can change the flavor of the honey.
What about watermelon?
What about watermelon flowers? You know what? I don't know. We got to talk to someone who knows a lot about honey making. But at the end of this book, friends, there is some pretty great descriptions and a really in-depth read on how to do it. So if you're interested, check this book out. I'll put the link on my Amazon affiliates page, and you can just pop on over there and buy the book, and then you will know all there is to know. And that, our dear friends, is
the end.
The end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.